Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Psychic Medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks once again for tuning into another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined with Psychic Medium Sherry for another episode on this fantastic Sunday evening. Hey, Sherry, how are you?
Hey, good evening, Jason. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, another week down, another week of this COVID lockdown, so it could be better, I guess.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It really is. I've about had enough of this.
Wow. Yeah, I was reading the other day that somebody was going to celebrate New Year's Eve in Wuhan, China, and there were thousands upon thousands of people just celebrating the New Year. And Dr. Mercula's girlfriend, Erin Elizabeth, was saying that, you know what, better more freedom that they have that over there than they do us, we do in the United States.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be the first on my vacation list, that's for dang sure.
I know, it's crazy. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's yeah. So anyway, what do you think about this the stimulus check that you might be getting with the new tax laws and everything?
I don't know. I already got mine. I was kind of hoping it was going to be the 2,000, but I did get the 600, and well, it's helpful. I didn't really need it, but, you know, I like money, so all good.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I got paper checks, so I got to wait with mine through the mail, I guess.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. So that's just, you know, that's a little bit, that's the tip of the iceberg. That's not much. I mean, I don't know how people can survive.
Yeah, it is really ridiculous. I mean, there's people suffering out there. And, you know, all these people that are making these decisions don't have to worry about health care. They don't have to worry about not getting a paycheck. Many of them are millionaires, you know. I mean, why should they care? They don't care. They don't care about the little people that are working in the hospitals or working in the supermarkets. You know, they're taken care of. They don't have to pay for nothing. So it's really kind of backwards, and it's unfortunate that corrupt politicians run this country. And, you know, it's the little people don't really matter. They don't care. I'm pretty sure they don't care. Maybe there's some people in the Senate and Congress that do care, but, you know, it's the good old boys. You look at these senators and these congressmen that have been sitting in that position for 30 years or more. You know, how is that not corrupt? You mean to tell me in 30 years that somebody else wasn't voted to that seat? And I suspect, at least in my conspiratorial mind, is the reason is it's corrupt. Everything's rigged. So as far as I'm concerned, it is. You know, it's just ridiculous. Go look on Wikipedia and see some of these, how long people have been serving. And there are many that are in the excess of 30 years. And, you know, it stinks. Something about that doesn't make sense to me.
Wow. isn't that crazy? Yeah, it's too bad. Yeah, it's the way it's how it's rigged up and everything. I mean, yeah, 600 is nothing. That's just, they can't even pay their rent.
No, they're just driving this country into the dirt. Small businesses and, you know, people don't have, you know, can't get evicted from their places. And, you know, you can't help one person without screwing another person. So when people, all the rents due, people aren't going to have it and they're going to get evicted. Well, in the meantime, because they can't pay their rent, the landlords, you think that they're all rich and have tons of money, but that's not the case. They're not getting paid, and what we're seeing, what's being reported now is landlords are just stopping to pay for things like garbage pickup, and it's a total mess. It really is, you know. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. Personally, I think we should just be cautious and keep things open. You know, shutting things down is really tearing up people's lives, and murder rates across the country are skyrocketing. Pretty much universally, and you know, there's all these collateral things that happen when you shut things down. I mean, yes, you may be saving lives by shutting things down, but you're losing lives on the back end through increased homicide, suicide, mental illness, you know. So it's kind of just a crazy situation. I don't know that there's a true good answer, but it is what it is.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just, I don't know. And I see that there's so much more homeless camps. I mean, we were going into the store, going into Portland, not exactly into Portland, but the suburbs, and even in the big open lots, people are you're starting to just see homeless camps. It's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of homeless camps. Probably one of the worst affected areas is Los Angeles.
Okay.
I just coincidentally watched several videos last night regarding the homeless situation down there. And downtown Los Angeles is traditionally a very expensive place to live. And what's happening is because of all these homeless camps literally everywhere, I mean hundreds and hundreds of tents, in these kind of expensive areas, you have these condos and stuff for rent that would normally rent for, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a month. But the homeless population down there is making the area unsafe because there's an increase in crime and aesthetics and all that. So now people are trying to rent these upscale condos for a fraction of the price, you know, before they did, you know, can't even talk right now. Before it was a lot more expensive because the area has suddenly become, you know, nasty, and it's really, really kind of scary to see what's happening with homelessness in this country, and the decisions that are made are obviously exacerbating that issue.
Yeah, and it's not a good thing. Yeah, and so, I don't know what you do. You know, I just don't know. I would not know. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, so, yeah, we're talking about the vaccines earlier, you know, talking about vaccines, and you got new information.
Yeah, unfortunately, the information I came across is not good information. But one thing I did want to mention, I don't know if this individual is going to call in tonight. It's a coworker. About a month ago, he told me that he had a horrific, like, date situation or one-night stand. Not sure exactly what happened, but it was horrifying. It was something that he'll never be able to unexperience. And he refused to tell me at work. And I said, well, come on, Paranormal Horizons, let's talk about it. You know, you don't have to keep it totally clean, but kind of clean it up a lot, because apparently the situation was rather graphic. So I'm hoping he calls in. He may not remember. I don't know. But there were two things I wanted to talk about tonight, and I'll start with the Galactic Council, some information I came across. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm getting this off of memory. But it was an interesting story, and it's been reported out there. If not sure what keywords to use, but anyways, kind of just to sum the situation up, was it's a, I believe it was Japanese scientist who apparently is in the know and works on the satellites and stuff like that, came out with some pretty shocking revelations about what's really going on with governments in this planet. And what it was our governments are in league with an with alien species and in a galactic council where decisions are made. And some of the other things he said, what that is that there is a sort of subterranean base on Mars and humans are on there, and it's all part of this galactic council. And apparently this has been going on for a long, long time, and he's just trying to blow the lid off of the whole thing. I don't have a lot more information other than that, but it's an interesting story that you can look up, and you could probably just type in scientist galactic council and you'll get the news stories. But he's blowing the lid on the whole thing out there that we're part of a galactic council, that the aliens are here, and we are have some sort of relationship with extraterrestrials, which I'm a little skeptical. You know, there's a lot of disinformation out there, but who knows? As the little people,
you and I, Sherry,
we're not in the know what goes on in the background of the governments and all that, so why not? Maybe it is possible.
That's possible. And, you know, when you're talking about exactly the Galactic Council, it reminded me of Andrea Perone. She's very connected with the UFO. So, you know, maybe one of these days if I get to her and call her up, I'll call her on her mobile phone and see if she wants to talk a little bit about that. Because, you know, you like UFOs and you've had experiences and, you know, it'd be interesting to see what she has to say about the Galactic Councils and how the aliens are somehow connecting with our government or things like that.
It's really hard to know the truth, and I've been watching some videos on YouTube, and one that I found was interesting is a guy, I want to say it was Russia, he had a special piece of glass, like a shard of glass, and he would go outside and he'd look, put his camera so the lens shot through the glass into the sky, and you see this big UFO like hovering several hundred feet off the ground. Then he'd move the glass and it would disappear, and then he'd put the glass back and the UFO would be there. And he has videos of different angles where he was standing and, you know, other UFOs flying by. Now, I'm sure it's fake. I'm not an idiot. But what if it's not? What if these things are flying up there and they just have the technology to where we can't see them? There could be a big mothership hovering over New York and you just can't see it. And maybe
exactly.
The government knows about it.
Wow. Oh, geez. Yeah. So, well, we don't know about it, do we? We don't know.
We don't know. But it's something that, you know, it's always good to be skeptical, but it's also always good to have an open mind. You kind of want to have a balance. If you're too skeptical, then you're never going to, you know, have any thoughts out there that things can be possible. Or if you're the opposite end of the spectrum, you believe everything. And I also believe that that's not healthy, because people that believe everything end up in, you know, alien cults and stuff like that. So a good balance of skepticism is always healthy.
Definitely. Yeah, you have to be, very, very much so. I feel like the same way. You know, I don't say that it doesn't exist. I have never had that experience, but like you said, you know, have an open mind, and whatever is open comes through. It's just sometimes when you close your mind, you're not going to hear, you don't hear what you need to hear, you know. So we'll want to hear, but yeah, very much so. And that's how you grow too, as a person, and just different things, you know, like, you know, when I have a client, my big motto is that you're going to hear what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. So when a person comes in, whether it's a reading or, you know, whether it's psychic or mediumship or both, or Chinese medicine, where I scan their body, you know, a lot of times they're, it's basically fear, or they're very much judgmental on what they think the whole process is. So sometimes, you know, in my role, I have to not just only make a validations, but also educate and connect with the people.
Absolutely. The other thing I wanted to mention was the COVID vaccine, and I don't have any information in front of you, so I'm just going to surmise what my own personal observations and some of the legitimate news stories that I've come across that maybe many people aren't aware of. First and foremost is one of the things that I noticed that was interesting with the COVID vaccine, and let me just... I've said this many times before, but let me just remind everyone, I am not an anti-vaxxer. I work in healthcare, and in order to work in healthcare, you have to get all sorts of vaccines. I've had to have Hep Bs, my MMR, I've had my tetanus a couple times, I've had some other vaccines, and I have never, ever had a reaction to a vaccine. In fact, I don't even remember having a sore arm. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I know vaccines have saved millions of lives over the course of modern history, and they should be continued to be developed and stuff. Now, that being said, I've never had a flu vaccine because I don't consider the flu to be much of a threat to me. I have a very good immune system. I hardly ever get sick. So I'm not too worried about the flu. But one of the observations I made and information that I came across was this RNA vaccination technology. It's not super new. In terms of medicine, it's new, but they've been looking at this since the 80s and 90s. And I read some information a while back saying that when they were looking at this, for whatever reason, I can't remember the specifics, but they did not feel that it was compatible, you know, suitable for human trials or, you know, on a big scale. So they abandoned the technology, right?
Right.
For whatever reason, there's some bad effects and stuff like that, and they just didn't think it was viable or safe for humans. So that's why this technology just hasn't really come into the forefront of vaccines. But I also want to put a disclaimer here that there is so much disinformation out there, it's hard to know what the truth is. So what I'm reciting may necessarily not be the truth, but this is the information that I've come across. I mean, you can't even trust, you know, the media. So take it as a grain of salt. If you feel you need the vaccine, you should absolutely get it. I would consider getting it if I was 20 or 30 years older. But we don't know which way this is going to go. Is it going to save a lot of people? Is it going to kill a lot of people? Is it going to do nothing? We don't know. So I elect not to get it. I've had an opportunity to get it. I declined because I work in healthcare. But one of the things that I thought was interesting with the COVID vaccine was that where I work, and I heard this everywhere else, part of this vaccination protocol is to, once you get your shot, you don't just leave. You have to sit and wait for 15 minutes. In there, in case you have a reaction to it. I don't ever remember getting another vaccination where I couldn't leave right away, that I needed to stay there for them to make sure I was okay. That makes me nervous. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't like the idea of getting something to where this organization is concerned that something might happen, so you have to sit there and wait to see if something happens. The other bit of information that I came across, this is a legitimate news story. You can Google it. You can just Google COVID vaccine and HIV or Australian COVID vaccine and HIV. And this doesn't pertain, I don't believe this pertains to the vaccinations that we're getting here from those companies. But Australia has canceled the order for approximately 51 million doses of a COVID vaccine. My understanding that this vaccine was developed in Australia, so I don't think it's ones that we're getting. But the reason they canceled all these orders is the people that were getting the vaccination were turning up HIV positive when they were tested for HIV. The reason that these people were coming positive for HIV was because the vaccine uses HIV proteins in the vaccine. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I don't know how any of that works, and I won't pretend to. But what they're saying is when this became apparent was that, well, these HIV, it's false positive. You don't really have HIV, but because our vaccine contains some of these HIV proteins, that's why you're coming up false positive. And we're going to go ahead and cancel these doses because, not because you have, we're giving you a risk of HIV or giving you HIV. It's because we don't want people to freak out when they turn up positive because we give you the vaccine. And I was thinking, to me, you're either HIV positive or you're not. There's no middle ground. But that to me is scary. And the reason that they were using the HIV proteins was because that was the only really viable way to make the vaccine effective. There were, it sounded from what I was reading, there weren't really other options. So I don't know how these vaccines from these other corporations, I don't even want to name them, you know who they are, that we're getting the vaccines from. I don't know how those are made. They may be completely fine. They may save millions of lives. I don't know. But for me personally, I'm just going to sit back and see what happens because it makes me nervous when the recommendation is to sit around after you get your shot and then you have stuff going on in Australia that's turning a bunch of people false positive for HIV. So that's what it is. And that's what I have on that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. You hear all about that kind of stuff and, you know, have they been at it for a long time? No. It seems like you find people in two different camps. You know, one's going to go take a vaccine and they really want, it's going to prevent them from getting it. And if they do get it, it's not going to be as bad than having it bad as that, having it, period. Or they're not going to get it at all. So I think it's really a personal choice. But I think that if you decide not to get it or you decide to get it, I don't think you should be judging people whether they should get it or not. I think that's something like whether it's voting, who you're voting for. It's a personal decision, and it's not something that somebody should be judging you for. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, if you think you should get it, you should get it. I don't, when I hear reports of people getting COVID after they've got the vaccine, I've heard reports of that. That doesn't make me nervous. And when I hear reports of people getting it and they get anaphylaxis, that doesn't make me nervous about it either, because regardless of what you put in your body, that's going to happen. I mean, you could eat something you've never ate before and have a reaction. So that's to be expected. There are going to be a small amount of people that have serious reactions and stuff like that, and everybody's going to handle it differently. So when I make my decision, it's not because a handful of people's throats started to close up or it's just a personal choice of mine. Now, I know several people that have gotten the vaccine, and it's a mixed bag. Some people had no effect. You know, they didn't have any reaction to it. And the other half of the people got a fever and splitting headache for a day and then are fine. It's really hard to say.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those. You're one camp or another, and it's just something that you got to be careful. And this is what's funny is that, you know, Erin Elizabeth, she's a well-known journalist, and she's actually the fiancé of Dr. Joseph Mercula. Dr. Joseph Mercula is a very well-known allopathic doctor, but he has the balance. He does believe in allopathic practice, but also leans towards holistic practice. So he creates that balance in his practice. And they've been together, I think, don't quote me exactly, but they've been together at least 10 to 13, 14 years together. They live together in Florida. And it's interesting how they tried both of them. Dr. Mercula took his account off, literally just decided to cancel. He literally deleted, not deactivated, but literally deleted his Facebook page because every time he would talk about his holistic approach upon whether it's COVID or, you know, anything from SARS to all these different things, he would get shut down. Their posts would not be brought up. He would go to Facebook jail, same things happening with her. is that she's, you know, when she posts things behind the scenes, they would take her down and say she's in jail. And so she would have to go through a different, you know, different means of sharing what she knows of the truth, like Ty and Sherry Bollinger. They're really good about cancer research, even though they're not medical doctors. They've been dealing with research, you know, for a long, long time and spread the words of what you can do to prevent cancer. And when you do, you have it, blah, 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 blah. They cut him down. They shut him off. So, you know, it's really hard when you're trying to educate the public, but, you know, you got these censorship in these things. They move over to, you know, Instagram. They got shut down on Instagram. They go to Twitter. They got shut down to Twitter. So now they're going to different alternative, Parler, Gab, you know, those other places so that they can do free, you know, free speech. We should all be educated. Healthcare should be free. I don't think it should cost us a dime. Education, too.
I totally agree. I think it should be free instead of maybe waging war against countries and blowing people
up.
Yeah,
we can. It's a hard enough time that we have to pay, you know, our rent and pay our car payments and all these little nuances, and then we have to go and pay for our health care and, you know, pay an arm and a leg. Here we are trying to survive, making, you know, your rent or your mortgage or whatever, your car payments, and putting food on the table, and you still, like my ex-mother-in-law, she's passed away, but she couldn't make enough money. Everything she had was going, I mean, she was getting so little, maybe under $500 of Social Security, and most of it was going through for her medication because she was having so many physical problems. So, and yeah, Medicare she qualified for Medicare, but they only paid for, you know, certain things. So, you know, you just can't make it for what you can do. And, you know, it's really sad. It's disgusting, but sad at the same time.
Totally agree. So we do have a caller. I'm hoping it's
okay,
my coworker. Okay. I've been waiting a month to hear this amazing story. It's our area code, so it's probably him.
Okay.
And I did, we'll see, this dating one-night stand situation, I don't know. Hopefully it's him. We're going to bring him on right now.
All right.
Hey, situation, I don't know. Hey, Jason, what's up?
What's up, my man?
Hello?
I'm dying.
What's going on? Sorry to call in so late. I was out having a few drinks, and I got one of my friends a car, so she chimes in. It's okay.
Yeah, right on.
Okay,
hey, well, I kind of
so you've been waiting
it.
To hear the story.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
so I just want to give a little caveat to any of your viewers. Like, listen, I'm not trying to body shame anybody. I am kind of a dick, but this is from my viewpoint. All right. So I met this girl on a dating app. It was Plenty of Fish, if anyone knows what that is. It is Plenty of Fish, and a lot of them are cod stuff you want to throw back. Anyways, so this girl I met, her profile said she was like 45, which is within my dating limit. You know, like I'm like, hey, you know, she looked okay for being 45. And I was like texting her and on the app and, you know, things were going good. And then she sent me a message for her to like give me her number, and I text her, and she was like, hey, after like 5-10 minutes of text, she's like, I got a surprise for you. And I was like, all right. So she sent me, like, just a flood of pictures, right? And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm about to receive a lot of nudes. You know, as a single guy, I do enjoy receiving nudes from attractive women. But it was not nudes. It was just pictures of her, like, in her house, like, standing in different positions. Like, one next to the fridge, one next to, like, a lamp, one by the side of her bed. One, like, looking out the window, like, a lot of shit where you're like, how's this, like, a gift or a surprise to me? Like, it's just looking at stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, that sent a couple of red flags, like, through my head, but, you know, I was trying to get laid, and, you know, during the COVID time, so you take some risks. we make plans to meet up. And I drive out to meet her, which was also outside of what my usual, like, driving limit was. So usually I have, like, a hard, like, 45 minutes. Like, if you're past 45 minutes, it's probably not worth it. So I go out there because, you know, Eric's a little desperate and wanted to smash.
COVID.
So I go out there and I meet her, and I go to her house, and as she's walking out, my first instinct was, she's not 45. She's more like 60, 65.
85.
But 85. 60, 85. Somewhere in the rounds of, like, the later years of the life. But she's got clothes on, and she looks attractive enough for me to be like, yeah, we'll see this through. And we made plans to go to this bar, right? So we go to this fucking bar, and I'm having a few drinks. I order her a drink, and she's like, oh, I don't drink alcohol anymore. And I'm instantly just like, meh. Like, fucking, you suck.
Trying to get in the mood, okay.
So, trying to get in the mood, you know. So, like, I have, like, a couple of drinks, and she finally has one. And, like, we're sitting on this couch, and she's, like, she's, like, curling up on my arm and, like, talking to me. And I'm just, like, I know what's going to happen later on in the night. But, like, she's still cuddling against me, and she's looking at me all kind of wonky. And
wonky?
Yeah.
And so, as she's looking at me kind of wonky, I don't say anything about it, but then she kind of, like, brings it up. She's like, oh, she's like, I'm sorry I'm having to look at you only with my left eye. She goes, my right eye is blind. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. She's like, my right eye got kicked when I was a kid by, like, a horse or a dog or something. And she's like, it can't see. And I was like, oh, that's cool, you know, like. Like, not to sound like an ass, but, like, I've definitely hooked up with, like, a chick with one eye before. Like, it's fine. The other chick I hooked up with one eye, that shit, you knew it was one eye. So I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm talking with her, and she's like, are you going to stay the night? And I go, yeah, like, that's fine. She's like, okay. She's like, I think my husband has my kids down. And I go,
she's married.
What? Yeah, so she's married and going through divorce. She let me know, she let me know she was going through a divorce before we met up, but
uh-huh.
I had no idea she was still living with her husband.
Oh, that's awkward.
Super awkward, right? But again, I'm a dirty dog, and I'm like, fuck it. So I'm like, okay, cool. is your husband going to be in your bed? She's like, no, he should be, like, down with the kids. I'm like, all right. So we go back to her house, and as soon as I enter the door, I'm like, this place is fucking disgusting, right? Like, you ever been to a house where, like, you instantly know, you're like, whoa, nobody keeps track of anything. There's just trash piled up everywhere, toys everywhere, like, you know, you can visibly see, like, Cheeto crumbs, like, on the couches and everything.
Okay, that sounds like me.
So I walk in that situation, and I'm just like, this is gross. But again, I'm like, well, I haven't been laid in a while, and COVID times, and time, you know, just buckle down, Eric, you can do this. So we go back to her room, and she's like, oh, sorry, I got to make the bed. She's like, I got to pull the sheets out of the dryer. She goes, I think my comforter's still damp. And I go, I'm like, huh? I'm like, well, maybe it's not. She brings it out. She puts it on the bed. Yeah, it's still damp. Like, I mean, like, pretty damp. Like you can touch it, and you're like, this shit's, like, slightly less than, like, wet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, this is getting good. I'm so curious.
Okay, so she makes her bed with this shit. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who the fuck makes a bed? Like a wet bed. Like, you made a wet motherfucking bed. So, I lay down. I'm, like, in the bed. And she, like, pulls the covers over me. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, we, like, start making out. And, like, making out's not good at all. It's kind of like, if I was to describe, like, how making out with her was, it was like I was doing a really good job and she was just jabbing me with a popsicle stick.
Oh, so, Lord.
It It was just super awkward and like super like fake feeling. I'm like, it was like, I'm like in my head, I'm like, have you ever done this before? But then she like looks at me after a little while of like us like kissing, and I'm like maybe 2 minutes, two minutes tops of kissing because it's fucking terrible. And she's like, do you want to make love? And I'm like, first thought through my head is, who the fuck under 40, like, who, like, nobody says, do you want to make love if you're under, like, 50, like, what is this? So, I'm like, yeah, sure, you know, this is why I'm here, obviously. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go change into something more comfortable. And I'm like, great. So she gets up and goes to the bathroom. And I'm laying in bed with, like, in underneath a soggy mat, like, soggy bed. And I kind of push it off me because I'm like, I'm done being wet for no reason. And she comes back, like, no shit, like, fucking, like, 10 minutes later. Like, it took her, like, 10 minutes to change for some reason. And she's not anything better than what she was wearing, except for she's just wearing, like, a extremely long T-shirt that, like, is homeless-looking. Like, something that's just, like, full of holes and grungy and, like, gross. I think it was her comfy clothes. I don't know.
Okay.
All right, and she starts kissing me again. She's like, do you want to do it? And I'm like, sure. So she takes her shirt off, like, super quick and, like, immediately throws it over the one lamp that's on to, like, try to blacken the room and, like, hold her, like, under her off. And, like, I kind of, like, switch positions, you know, like, put my hips on, like, put my hips next to her. And she just clamps on me, like a fucking suction cup, dude. And I was like, oh, like, I didn't want to, like, be, like, inside you yet. Like, I want a little bit more foreplay. And it's not good feeling by any means. Like, it's not pleasant. It's not warm. It's not sensual. If I had to describe it, it would be similar to, like, a hot dog down a wet hallway.
Oh, my word.
It continues to go on. So, my eyes kind of adjust, and I'm, like, half-ass, like, doing my thing. I'm half-ass, like, moving my hips and everything because I'm, like, in my head, I'm now thinking, like, how the fuck do I escape the situation that I have involved myself in? How do I get out of here?
You run and, like, and jump out the window.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty close to doing that. But I'm more conscientious. I don't want to just be like, fucking, I'm out, ba-boof, dive out the window like Superman or Batman.
I was trying to be, like, thoughtful.
Thoughtful. I'm a thoughtful guy when it comes to, like, getting the fuck out of situations I don't want to be in.
My eyes adjust,
and it's just like, I don't mean to body shame anybody, but, like, it was one of the worst figures I've ever seen. And it's not because she was fat, she was thin, but it was like the breasticles, if I will, were like flapjacks. The stomach was a flapjack. And then the fupa, there was a fupa on top of that that hung down about 6 inches lower than my pelvis as a flapjack.
How did you notice that when you first met them?
Because she sucked, she like clamped onto me, man. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I can't help it.
No, when you first met, when you just like.
Because she was wearing clothes and she looked normal.
Oh my God, you can see that through clothes.
I wasn't expecting like a meat sack.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, I had my friend chiming in.
Sorry. You are hilarious.
So there's like this meat sack I'm essentially attached to of just flaps on flaps on flaps.
You like flaps.
Sometimes. But anyways. So there's just this, I'm just in this terrible situation and I'm like, how do I get out of it? Because she's like way into it and I'm way not into it. And I feel like my facial expression also said, I am way not into it. So I went back to my old get-out-of-jail-free card for chicks, which is like, oh, sorry, I've had too much to drink. You know, the penis doesn't work right now. I got whiskey dick. And she responded back with, that's okay, that happens. And I was like, she's like, quite frequently, and I was like, huh. So I'm like, immediately I'm disgusted. And also, I didn't mention this, but there's like this resonating smell that's going on at the same time.
Ew.
So if you haven't, so anybody who's maybe listening or has dealt with anybody who has like a diaper or like elderly
Ew.
Person who wears like Depends, there's like a distinct smell of like old urine.
Oh, wow.
And so
that
old
like.
Urine smell was very prevalent during this whole situation. So this is like
five minutes
of me doing like mental jiu-jitsu.
Ew.
And I tell them, I'm like, hey, you know, like, I'm sorry I had too much to drink. I only had like 2 rum and cokes. Like for me, like that's like just getting warmed up. But she don't know. And so, I go to the bathroom because I'm like, I just need to wash all this off. Like, my first goal, you know, like, go take a pee, go take a wash, get anything off you that might be hurt.
Take some antibiotics.
And so I walk in what?
Take some antibiotics.
Take some antibiotics, you know, fucking make a prayer to a cross, you know, use some, like, smudging techniques on my body, whatever it takes. So I go to her bathroom that she was in, and as soon as I go in there, I try to hit the light, and the light doesn't work. And I'm like, huh? So I hit the light again, and like it kind of turns on, but kind of turns off. And she's like, oh yeah, she's like, you got to turn the light on and hit it with the duct tape. And I'm like, what? So her bedroom, like, bathroom, in order to even use it, you had to use, like, duct tape on it to hold the light up. So, you know, I did. And then, like, as the light came on, I was able to, like, look around the room a while, and I was even more disgusted, because, like, her shower had, like, black mold in it, like, going, like, halfway up. You know, like, how, like, you know when somebody just doesn't care about their bathroom? And there's, like, mold in their shower, and it's not, like, on the, like, the bottom, you know, like, by the drain where it kind of builds up. But it goes, like, 3/4 of the way up where, like, the water's, like, we can't hit here anymore, so we can't grow mold anymore. It was like that. the floor was rotten. We're going to the wine bar.
Oh, we're going to the wine bar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, so the floor was, like, soft because of rot. So the floor is, like, all rotten out in her bathroom also. So every time I took a step, like, I felt like I was sinking into the ground. There was a jacuzzi in her bathroom, which I thought was, like, oh, shit, that's a jacuzzi. Like, that's kind of cool. But the jacuzzi was full of, like, leaves. Like, fucking, like, somehow there's, like, a collection of leaves.
Yep.
What?
A jacuzzi, an indoor jacuzzi with leaves in it?
Yeah, so there's an indoor jacuzzi full of leaves. It looked like somebody had gone out in the yard and collected leaves in a bucket and, like, dumped it in there because there are so many. Like, there is an unnatural amount of leaves inside of a jacuzzi if there is such a thing as a natural amount of leaves for a jacuzzi. If that makes sense. And so then I went to go use the toilet because I was like, I just need to use the toilet. I need to pee real quick. I need to get this chick off me. So I go to use the toilet. It's black on the inside of the bowl from the bottom all the way up to the sides, like just running up all around the bowl. You know what I mean? Like you've gone to like a – I'm sure some of the people have gone to like a truck stop where you see that and you're like, wow, who the fuck would use this? And in my case, that's her daily use. So I pee real quick. I look to the side. I see some, like, baby wipes because she's got kids, and I clean myself off. And I throw those away. I don't flush them because I care about, you know, like, the environment and causing, like, fat burgs. Mm-hmm. So.
You are thought.
So, anyway, I then go. What?
Do you run out of there at this point?
No, I go to wash my hands. I'm not a fucking animal. So as I'm sitting there, I'm washing my hands. Oh, I didn't mention this. So, like, before like we did the deed, you know, she gave me a little bit, how do I put it politely, a fellatio, I guess would be the correct term. And I want to say, like, during that experience, it felt like there was teeth at the top and at the bottom. It just felt, like, hard all over the place. And it was a very awkward, very traumatic experience. But anyways, so I go to wash my hands, and as I'm washing my hands, I look to the side, and I see something that is distinctive to me because I do elderly care, and that is a box for dentures.
Does it have mold in it as well?
I didn't open the box. I didn't feel the need to inspect it, but I suspect maybe because there was a toothbrush that was wore the fuck out next to it.
Ew.
Like a denture, a specific denture brush.
How are you still alive after that?
You know, I attribute it to like a good immune system.
Oh my god.
You are a brave, brave man. Now I was doing quite a bit of dating in the past, but I could never even remotely come close to that. I did have somebody lie about their age, but nothing like that. Unfortunately, this person is just not into cleanliness, apparently.
Yeah, she's not into any type of cleanliness. So anyways, I leave, and I'm like, hey, I gotta go. And she's like, okay. And I get the fuck out of there. And, like, I didn't have a toothbrush on me or anything. I wish I did. I wish to God I did. So, like, the only thing I could think to do is, like, on my way home was, like, stop off at a gas station and try to buy one. Except for they didn't have any, so I just bought a bunch of, like, gum. And I was just chewing pieces of gum and spitting it on my way out and being, like shuddering each time, being like, ugh, wow, how'd I get into this? But
You're a brave, brave man, Eric. That is just an astounding horror story for a one-night stand. That's, what do you think, Sherry? Is that's pretty out there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty, but, you know, hey, Eric, I'm just curious. You had no indication what you thought? She was kind of weird anyway, or was she just, was she feigning who she really was, trying to get somebody?
Oh, no, she was fishing. Like, she, on her profile, like I said, it says she was, like, 45, but I have a strong belief that she was, like, in her upper 60s and maybe 80s after my experience.
Wow.
You know, like, it brings up a good subject. I mean, we'll have to do a show on dating because there's a lot of deception that goes on out there. I mean, with all these filters to make people look better and just blatant lies about age and stuff like that. You got sucked in, but I'm shocked that you went the distance with that one. I may have gotten to the door, taken a look inside, and said I was having chest pain and needed to leave.
Well, you know, man, like, I gotta say, it's desperate times, and, you know, as a desperate guy at this point in time, like, you do what you gotta do. You just kind of hope for the best. You look through everything, and you go, it's all shitty, but maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel. But unfortunately, it was the Grim Reaper I saw, so.
Well, I applaud your optimism, and I want to thank you for calling in and sharing your story on our show tonight.
Yeah, no problem,
yeah,
man.
Eric. Hey, with that experience, what are you going to do? How are you going to learn from that one?
Yeah, where's the learning in all this?
I guess the lesson is, like, just to judge a book off its cover. You know, if they look old, they probably are old.
There you go. All of our listeners are going to take those wise words and learn from it.
Wow.
All right, buddy. Yeah. We only got a few minutes left on the show, but thanks for calling in. And yeah, when I see you next, we need to, you know, we work in a laboratory, so we need to run some swabs and microscopes and stuff and make sure you're okay.
Yeah, we'll check all the things.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks,
hurt,
buddy.
You know,
no problem. Have a good day.
All right.
Wow,
what a horror story, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little on the graphic side, and people might be shocked, but, you know, that's the reality of life. Life is graphic, and it brings up a good topic, and maybe a topic we should talk about sometime is this whole dating thing, and people lie about it. I went on a date before my current girlfriend. I dated a lot of people, and there was one that I went to. It was just like one date. I'm pretty sure she wanted to continue something, but when I got there, I was thinking, wow, this gal looks, you know, quite a bit older than what she says. But she wasn't, you know, unattractive. She was a best-selling author and all that. Somebody lies about their age. I just can't go with it. It's not so much the age thing. It's about lying about it. And, the one time in my life I actually went to somebody's house sight unseen was the same kind of thing as his situation with him. Actually, it was plenty of fish as well. I was talking to this gal. She had a bunch of kids. I wasn't super thrilled about that, but she's like, hey, you know, drive out to Hillsboro. Why don't you come over? And I had nothing to go on other than a headshot. And so I was like, you know what? I normally wouldn't do this. I'm usually very conservative. I wouldn't do something like that. Not because I'm afraid I'm going to meet somebody that I find unattractive. It's more, I'm more paranoid I'm going to get caught up in some weird thing with some crazy person. But I went out there to her house, and we hit it off great. There was nothing weird about it, and I didn't really pursue anything after that because my ex-girlfriend wanted to get back together, and she subsequently broke my heart and tore my soul out of my body. But nothing like that.
Crazy. So when you say something about fish, is that a pretty popular dating website that people go to? Is that like for one night stands or something?
I don't know that I would say it's for one night stands. I was on several. I was on Plenty of Fish. I was on Match, and I think OK Cupid, and I was on a bunch of them, and I met quite a few people. But Plenty of Fish, I think the consensus is it's kind of the bottom of the barrel dating app. I mean, you're not going to find high-class companions on Plenty of Fish. But I don't think it's exclusively for, you know, just sleeping around or whatnot. I haven't been in the dating scene for a couple of years, so maybe things have changed.
Wow. That's crazy. You know, I'm just kind of the old-fashioned way, you know, why can't you just meet the person instead of going, there's so many problems, you know, you can find the right person, but what's the chances of them, like you're saying, you know, being honest and not having a picture 10, 15, 20 years ago? You know, within a year or two, that's okay. But, you know, when you have a picture way before 10, 20 years ago, that you're very deceitful. I don't think that's really – I don't think it's not fair to the person looking at your profile.
And I think it's a dumb thing to do, because if you're going to meet the person and you're telling them – you're younger than they are. I mean, they're going to meet you, and then they're going to see you're older, and then they're going to know you're a liar, so why bother, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And then what else? And then they're going to think, what else are you lying about, you know, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I thought is, you know, what are they lying about? And I met some, you know, God, I dated a lot of people, you know. It was usually, you know, one to two times, and then they'd realize I was a mental case and run the other way. And there were some that were that were really into me, and then just literally like overnight were not into me, and I could never figure out why that was. I mean, like super into me, and then literally they come over, we watch a movie and eat pizza, and the next day they're like ghosting me and not interested. I was always paranoid about that, like what did they see, or what, you know, what's going on. It was always very strange to me, and that happened a couple times. And meeting people is difficult, you know. People in general are difficult. Everybody's different, and so I'm kind of glad I'm not doing that anymore. You just got to find one person you click with and stick with them.
Yeah, it takes a couple years, you know. It takes a year and a half to 2 years to make sure that they are the person who they are. A lot of times, you know, people put, I call it putting their best foot forward. You know, they want to put everything on the line at the first. Everything is really nice and honeymoon stage. And, you know, when you get to that, after that, a year and a half to 2 years, and if they're still consistent, you see what they, you know, they haven't changed or anything like that, then you might want to consider if you want to pursue the relationship on further. But until then, I just tell people, you know, no, no way. Don't even, just enjoy yourself. Get to know the person. It takes time. People can change. People are really strange. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Male or female. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. You just need to get time into knowing somebody. And you usually know. You usually could tell after, you know, a couple of years. You can tell if you want to be with that person for a long time, or you just, you know. Some people just settle for it because they're afraid to settle for anybody else. They don't want to settle for anything better, so they'll settle for what they've got. So, but, yeah, there's always so many different circumstances and so many reasons and personalities that are coming to play. Absolutely.
Well, we are running out of time, but I want to share with you, Sherry, since we're on the dating subject, of the most unusual dating experience I've had. Do you want to hear it real quick?
Sure.
So I met this gal. We had gone on a couple dates. She was the one that ghosted me. It was super into me. But one of the dates we went on, it was about 10 o'clock at night, and we went down to the river down here. I believe it was the Willamette River. And there's not really anyone there. There might have been one or two people there, but it was pretty desolate. We walked out on the dock, and we laid on the dock and just kind of stared at the stars and stuff. And then we finally went back up to the bench above the dock near the parking area. And we're sitting on the bench, you know, just kind of snuggling and this and that, and everything's fine. And I look to my right, and a guy in a ghillie suit pops around the edge of the bench. Are you familiar with what a ghillie suit is?
No. I don't know what a ghillie suit is. What is that?
A ghillie suit basically is camouflage that you cover yourself. It looks like grass or whatever, and snipers use it when they're shooting people. It makes them blend into the environment. It's not like wearing camouflage shirt and pants. I mean, it's a thing that you drapes over your body so people can't see you when you're in the bush. So he pops around the corner. Now, normally, a normal person would get terrified of this, thinking, I'm going to get murdered in this park kind of thing. But I glance over. I don't even flinch. I look at the guy, and I go, nice ghillie suit. And this guy's 5 feet away from me. He snuck up behind us. And and he looks at me, and he's like, oh, can you just pretend you were scared? I think somebody was in a car filming it, you know? This was kind of like a prank thing, sneak up on people wearing a ghillie suit, you know? But when you're as big
wow.
as I am, the mentality that I have, I see myself as kind of an alpha predator. So people don't scare me. Like, I know that I can protect myself. So those type of things don't scare me. It's the things that scare me are like volcanoes, tidal waves, demons, and aliens. That's what scares me. But people trying to scare me, yeah, it's tough.
Wow. Oh, geez.
So I was weird.
But you're
it was
okay.
Just kind of
you're apparently made
yeah.
through.
We could have very well been murdered that night, but it was just so awkward.
Weird.
But anyway.
That's pretty strange. Wow. Well, anyway, we're having a new year. So good, hopefully it's going to be a very good year. I'm looking forward to it myself, even though with the pandemic, for me, it's going with the flow. I'm very, very, very happy and very blessed that I'm able to work at home and still be consistent and balanced with the people that I serve. So it's really nice. I'm very blessed.
As so am I. I'm doing quite well, in every department. You know, I was having trouble with my liver, those numbers. Have I talked to you since the last time I got my blood check?
No, I haven't heard from you. No. What happened since?
Okay, quick recap. I got sick. I knew it was my liver because I knew the symptoms of liver problems. My labs were not just high, but were ridiculously, scarily high pertaining to the liver. And in fact, I work in a laboratory and I'd never seen numbers that high before. So then a month later, rechecked, it's come way, way down. It's still a little high. Then I just got checked last week and it's come down quite a bit as well. It's still slightly high, but not terrible. So I don't know what pissed off my liver. I don't know if I ate something. I don't know if I'm being poisoned or what, but something happened that was really, really damaged my liver. So I'm hoping we're just kind of keeping an eye on it at this point.
Good. How are you feeling, though? That's the main thing. How are you feeling?
I feel fine. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, we need to just kind of just bring, just stay with some sick people and bring our immunities, just eat, get enough sleep, and just bring your immunities as high as possible. That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
It's a scary thing. And if you want to get the vaccine, go ahead and get it if you feel that that's going to help you, and maybe it will. I don't want to dissuade anybody from getting it, but for me personally, it is a personal choice. For me personally, I'm not saying I'm not going to get it. I'm just holding back and seeing what happens.
Really, really quickly, the COVID-19 mask caused plastic fiber inhalation, so it can be harmful. All masks, whether you're going and using surgical masks, carbon activated masks, non-woven, N95, surgical, fashion, cotton, they all have the microplastics. They can go into the blood tissue if you wear it day in and day out, long-term use.
That's fantastic.
You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, huh?
I don't. It's a gamble. I mean, this vaccine may save millions of lives or it may not, or cause problems. I mean, it's like, it's a gamble. You don't know. I mean, you've just got to go off of what information's out there and try to make whatever the best decision for yourself is. And it's, I may get sick and die. But you just don't know.
Well, we're all going to die. It's just how we're going to do it. I personally would like to have it very gentle and easy and go to sleep, not wake up. That's the best way,
I'm the opposite. I want mine to be quick and traumatic, but I do not want to die in my sleep. No, thank you.
Oh, I would rather die in my sleep. Not even wake up. Just very peaceful, very, nothing. Just make sure it's peaceful. That's what I like to see. But anyway, Wednesday, I've got to really do this. Wednesday, we're going to have William Tongi. He's from Hawaii. He's an emerging new musician coming in, and I'm going to introduce him for 45 minutes to an hour on my Facebook page, Psychic Medium Sherry. We're going to go live and have my producer. He's going to go into Spotify and iHeart and all these other major podcasters. So we're going to blast him out. But young kid, very young, very humble. I see him going to be going as it is, I'm getting him at the front end before he becomes too popular. So, I'm going to have him. He's going to perform a few songs, actually four songs. And we're going to just interview him. I'm going to interview him about his start of playing a guitar and how he come about writing. He's already written about five songs already, and one of them already is in Spotify and iTunes. So I'm excited to have him. William Tongi from Hawaii this coming Wednesday on the Psychic Medium Facebook page.
Very cool. Well, with that, I'm going to go get some dinner. We hope everybody has a safe, fantastic week. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. Good night.
Hey, take care, everybody. Happy New Year.